Easter Sunday service. Every day ought to be Easter because we have a risen Savior. But we celebrate this day. We have fun with different things. We have fun with Easter baskets and Easter bunnies and chocolate bunnies and colored eggs and all like that. And that's fun, and we ought to have fun. We also need to make sure we understand the real reason for the season. And that's the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're here to observe that today and to have a good day in the Lord. So we're glad you're here. We'd ask you to take your red book and turn to number 113. And that is the song that says, "The Old Rugged Cross," as we stand and sing the first, second, and last verses. Things in prayer. Let's continue to pray for Miss Irma and Junior He was supposed to be taken to a nursing home this week, and that has not happened yet, possibly tomorrow. There's some interruptions, problems with his heart, so they're not going to move him yet until that's stabilized. So continue to pray for that need. All right, unspoken request, let it be known by raised hands. Serving God knows all about those things. All right, Brother Beal, lead us in prayer, please.
Easter Sunday, Lord, I thank you for this day that we can remember the resurrection of our Savior, Lord, and that it is heavy and I have a number of times to pray for us. That is what you've done for us, Lord, and our Savior, and Father, that no greater gift than the Lord we could receive, Father, except salvation, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you can be here today to remember that you have blessed your people that are here today, Lord, and you know that the hand that's been laid to them, you know that you
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Page 4, choir. Made a debt. Did not owe. Page 4. Stand by his side.
see from here. You know you don't look blessed. Guess what? If you're alive today, you're blessed. If you got a place to go home to this afternoon, you're blessed. If a hurricane didn't come through and knock your house off the blocks and cinders, you're blessed. If a fire hadn't consumed your place, you're blessed. You say, well, you don't know the circumstances I'm under, preacher. Guess what? You're on top of them if you got Jesus. And so I tell you what, we're blessed. We're blessed. And America has gotten to the place where we're so spoiled rotten, we don't realize that we're blessed. And the Lord has been good to us. So I hope we kind of keep that in mind. That's a good thing today. Thank you, choir, for that good special. We're going to turn in our red book to hymn number 447, a good Easter song. He's the Lily of the Valley. 447. If you'll stand, we're going to sing the first, second. We're going to go around fellowship and come back on the last. 447.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 2,000 to my soul.
Thank you.
last verse. Ready? He will never, never leave me. Singing today. Thank you for you being here. Good number on Easter Sunday. And I was sharing with the Sunday school class today that there was a day where people did go to church more on Easter Sunday and Christmas Sunday than they do now. But I can remember when women used to come to church and wear hats. And some of those services before the day of satellites looked like there was some women that wore hats and bonnets that you could wire up to a satellite dish. And I remember people sitting behind those ladies and having to do this so they could see. But those were good days. Those were good days. All right. I want to show you something. You look at that. You know how long it takes to eat all the little cheese balls that's in one of these things? It
took me a long time.
We're going to do something this morning. We're going to start doing it. We got a lot of kids, and this makes it good. We're going to have a, you can call it a penny march or whatever you want to, but we're going to ask our young people to go around to all of us lazy adults that don't like to move and get some change. And if you got some change, handful of change, we got John here, and we got Caleb, and we got JoJo and Catherine, and who else we got here I'm missing?
Jeremy.
We got Jeremy's here, okay. And yeah, so we want all these young'uns to go around. And yeah, if you don't have anything that makes a racket, you get a George out there, and George will keep you busy. And so let's ask all the young men, sister, if you'll play something, I'm going to put this down at the front. This is going to go to our building fund, and so we want you to go ahead and share, and all the change, everything you've got to go to our building fund. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, find them something else to do so they won't take my job. John John's got a whole bunch more. All right. Yay. Good job, John John.
Sharing today. All right, pray for Miss Teresa as she is going to sing and turning your Bibles to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, John 20, and Miss Teresa will sing for us.
The soldiers led Jesus from a courtroom of mockery and nailed him to the old cross to die. They laughed at his statement, "I'll rise again, you'll see." One pierced a sharp spear in his side. He cried, "It is finished," was heard from the hillside. He was placed in a tomb by his friends. His words were remembered by Mary as she cried, "I must die, but I'll live again." Not even the grave closed, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door. All the powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord. If you journey through Jerusalem to the grave that held Jesus, you'll find that his body is gone. Oh, if there's still an echo that shouts at the devil, you're defeated, Christ Jesus has won. Not even the grave closed, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door. All the powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord. Not even the grave clothes, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door. All the powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord.
All right, I think Miss Kelly is, are y'all taking the young people? Are y'all taking the young people over to the fellowship hall? Is that what you're doing? We've got a treat for our young people today. They're going to be watching a cartoon or animated video on the resurrection. And several years ago, a gentleman came out of Walt Disney and felt a burden to do animated Bible stories. And I think the series is called Animated Family Films or something like that. But the thing that impresses me about it is that it has to do with biblically correct animated films. And that's a very needful thing. I've seen a lot of cartoons that were loosely based on the Bible that I didn't appreciate, but it's good to find some of these things. And they've been around for quite a number of years, but if you ever run across some of them, you ought to get them. Good investment. And again, I like it because it's something that young people enjoy. They're about half hour in length, and just some good things there. Such a blessing. All right, so go ahead and let them go at this time. And ask you to have your Bibles ready in John chapter 30 as we talk about the resurrection today. Now, we are going to be having a luncheon afterwards. We'll have some sandwiches and things. I want you to be sure and stay for that. And then all kinds of goodies taking place today, okay? Glad that you're here today on Easter Sunday. Always a blessing. Think of no better place to be on Easter Sunday than in the house of God. John chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher. That, of course, is where the Lord Jesus was buried, in the sepulcher. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. You remember that he has been placed in the borrowed tomb of a man named Joseph of Arimathea. They have put them in there, they have rolled a stone, and then they put a marker there. The government has done that, Rome has done that, because they came to the Romans and they said, you understand that they have said that 3 days later from his burial he will rise again. And they said, you need to get somebody out there, get some of your guards, and you need to have someone on duty all night long on that third night. Because if you don't do that, they may come and steal his body, and they may claim that he is resurrected. And you must not let that happen. And we're going to read about in just a little while what did happen that Easter morning when those men, those Roman soldiers, were put on guard. But here we see that Mary Magdalene has come and she sees that the stone has been rolled away. Verse 2 says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And every time you read that, that's a reference to John himself, the writer of this gospel. And he says to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. John gets to the door, looks inside, sees the linen clothes, the burial attire of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is not there. And he stops at the door and he sees that. But then in verse 6, Simon Peter has come behind him and bypasses him and goes into the sepulchre. And it says, then cometh Simon following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the sepulchre, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us today. I pray that you will show us the beauty of the resurrection. I pray that our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our belief might be open today, and that we might see a resurrected Savior new as we may have never seen this truth today before. May the Holy Spirit minister in this place today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. How do we know? The question that I want to deal with in this hour is, how do we know Jesus rose again? Are there evidences? Are there proofs that He rose again from the dead? How can we know in 2012, on this Easter Sunday morning in Faith Baptist Church, how can we and how can other believers actually know that there has been a resurrection? How can we know that? Is it possible to know that? Are there proofs, are there evidences that tell us that Jesus is truly raised again from the dead? Now, if we had the ability, the money, to get on an airplane and travel around the world and look at the burial places of famous people, famous leaders. We went to China, for instance. We would find the burial place of a gentleman who is prominent in Chinese communism, and his name was Mao Zedong. We could go to the tomb in which Mao Zedong has been placed, and we will find that tomb has not been touched since Mao Zedong died many years ago. You can go to any leader, a political leader, a well-known leader, a celebrity. You can go and you can go on the internet and you can find where they have the markers and the grave sites of famous people, and you can find them where they still are buried. But you would go to a place called Calvary. And if you go to Calvary today, you would be allowed to walk inside that tomb. And you would find that He is not there. The message of the cross tells us that He is not there, but He is risen. And that message is all through the Bible that He's not there. Evidence number one, quickly, the first evidence that we have that we know that Jesus is not there is that empty tomb. That's the first proof. That's the first evidence that Jesus is not there. Now, history is an important thing. There are things that you cannot change and you cannot hide from history. History has been rewritten. That's true in many cases. But the basic line or thread of evidence is pretty solid for things when you get into history. In other words, if Jesus did not rise again from the dead, then where did His body go? Even those that believe, some people believe, have different theories. Some people believe that He did die and that somehow the disciples did take His body and somehow they got rid of the body. Now, the problem with that is that somewhere down the line, somebody would have had to have found the body. That's just as plain as it could be. We see on the news seemingly all the time that somebody says, well, they found a body. Maybe on their property. And someone was murdered and they took the body and it was covered up on property and people found the body. And it may have taken years to find the body, but the point was it was found. Okay? If the body of Jesus did not resurrect, where did the body go? And you'll not find any satisfactory information in history to tell you where His body went. Why? Because His body was not stolen in that tomb. He rose again like He said He would. There are those who believe in what's called the swoon theory. And what that meant was that Jesus did not fully die on the cross, but when they took Him down and placed Him in that tomb, remember that that tomb was part of a cave or a mountain. And so there was a coolness in that tomb. And there are those who believe in the swoon theory that when Jesus was placed in that tomb, He was not fully dead, but that He had passed out. and the cool air within the tomb woke him up, and he was able to escape. And that the disciples nursed him back to health and on down the line. Now, here's the problem with that. If that were true, then would he not have been seen by somebody? If he survived, then did he escape and go somewhere? Somebody with the notoriety of Jesus Christ could not be hidden. Can you imagine somebody today of the notoriety of someone like the President of the United States, or someone that is a ball player, or someone that is an actor, and they try to go incognito? They can't do it. It's impossible. Somebody's always going to come up and say, "You look just like, aren't you?" It always happens. You can't hide that. You can't hide that notoriety. So how do you hide the notoriety if Jesus did just pass out and he woke up and the disciples nursed him back to health? Where did he go? And there's no record that he went anywhere. Jesus talked about in the Bible that he was going to die and that he would be resurrected. You know something that a lot of people I have noticed are saying now? They're not using the phrase "Happy Easter" anymore. A lot of Christians are saying "Happy Resurrection Day." Have you noticed that? And you know what? I don't know that that's not a bad thing. Because I'm perfectly fine with Easter, but you know, the devil, and I'm not trying to be rude and ugly, and don't take it this way, but doesn't the devil always try to throw a counterfeit into the things of the Lord? For instance, you got a jolly fat man in a red suit and a white beard at Christmas time, and people want to focus on that instead of focusing on the coming of Jesus. I said early in the service, I have no problem with having fun. I believe you ought to have fun. I really do. I'm not one of these that say, "Oh, don't do this and don't do." Have fun as long as it's not compromising the Word of God. Have fun. And today we have fun, but what have we done? We've taken a purple or pink, you know, rabbit. And how in the world a rabbit ever laid an egg? I don't know how that happened. But it did somehow, and so we've taken that and we elevate that, and we don't think so much about a risen. There's always seems to be a counterfeit, and don't go out the door and say, "Preacher Moore said you're not supposed to." No, I'm not saying that. Just saying we've got to get our priorities right. And our priorities have to be Jesus. And that's very important that we do that. There is an empty tomb, and that is what we're supposed to focus on. And Jesus said there would be. He said this. Remember when they had the trial? They brought some people up and they said, "Did you ever hear this man speak blasphemy?" They said, "Oh yeah. He talked about that when that temple was destroyed, he'd raise that temple up in 3 days." And they thought they were talking about the Jewish temple. He wasn't talking about that Jewish temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. He was talking about the resurrection. He said this. He said, "You know," he said to these unbelievers, he said, "there shall no sign be given you unless it's the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." That's the resurrection. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about that in just a little while, because that's the cornerstone of our Christian faith. I preached last Sunday on the cross, the third cross, if you will. And that cross that we're talking about is a wonderful thing. He died for our sins, but I say to you that if we just focus on the cross, we have lost the reality of this story. Because it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, tells us that without that, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. We have no faith if there is no resurrection from the dead. And so all of these things all come together with the story of the empty tomb. There is a second evidence. How do I know that Jesus raised from the dead? The first evidence is the empty tomb. But let me give you a second evidence. A second evidence is this, that there was a change in the disciples' lives. There can be no greater proof or evidence of Jesus raising from the dead and now seated at the right hand of the Father, other than this great truth,
that the power of the gospel will change people's lives. You say, how do you know that? Because I know there was a change in nobody. There was not a change in anyone else but this man. This is enough evidence, and his name was Simon Peter. What did he do prior to the crucifixion? You know what he did. He denied the Lord. He even went so far as to use profanity and curse the name of the Lord. And you know something? When the Lord was brought out of Pilate's judgment hall, the Bible says that he looked at Peter because Peter had gone off with the crowd. And he was warming himself by the fire with all the other people that were associated with the Romans. And the Bible says that Jesus stopped and he looked. And that's all he did. He just looked at Peter. And when Peter saw the Lord look at him, Peter was convicted of his sin and his denial. And do you know what he did? The Bible says he wept bitterly because he knew what he had done to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a wonderful message when you come to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, the Bible says that Jesus, following his resurrection, came to the disciples and said this, "Tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen from the grave." You know why? Because he saw the horror, he saw the pain, he saw the suffering, and the Lord did not shoot Peter down. He said, "Tell the disciples, but make sure you tell Peter. Because I saw the look of what Peter did." And now, what happened in Peter who was afraid? When I get into that second chapter of the book of Acts, you know what that Peter did? Peter stood on that mount and stood before over 3,000 Jews, and he preached there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 Jews were converted. You know what? He'd have never done that prior to the resurrection. He was afraid. He was scared. He was afraid for his life, and he was afraid he was going to die just like Jesus did. But there was a change in his life after the resurrection. Now, I hear people, they say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." But you know what? Sometimes you wonder. Now, we're not supposed to sit in judgment on anybody. The Bible tells us, "Judge not that you be not judged," when it comes to being saved. But I tell you, there are some people that you do worry about sometimes. Because the Bible talks about the fact that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when you get saved, there's a change. There ought to be a change. Sometimes now you might make a mistake. Sometimes you might be putting a picture up on the wall, and you might have your hammer, and you might hit the wrong nail. And you may say something you shouldn't say. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? No, it just that old flesh will come out every now and then. It will. But I'll say this, that if you get saved and you're truly saved, there's going to be a change. It's going to affect the way you talk. It's going to affect the way you walk. It's going to affect the way you think. It's going to change you. It's part of being saved. It's part of what we call the new creature in Christ. And you say, what is an evidence that he rose again from the dead? The evidence is that Savior who rose again from that, where did he's now, the Bible says, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. But also there is somebody in my heart called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within me, and the Holy Spirit brings about these changes that can only be brought out by one who had the power to say to death, hell, and the grave, "O death, where is thy stay?" And so it's impossible. It's impossible to have Jesus in your heart and there not be a change. There's got to be a change. Now that doesn't mean we're perfect, but thank God Christians are not perfect. We're forgiven, but we're not perfect. But there's going to be a change. And that's what he's talking about, a change in the disciples' lives. And we see that in the lives of these disciples following the resurrection. Let me give you a third proof. What's a third revelation that we know that Jesus rose again from the dead? And this is what I was going to mention to you just for a moment. Turn back to the last chapter of Matthew with me, please.
Hold your place in John 20, but turn to the 28th chapter of Matthew. And let me show you a very important thing you may have never thought about concerning this time period of the resurrection. Matthew 28, here is the third evidence. I believe that we know that Jesus did not stay in that tomb, but that he is resurrected. In the 28th chapter, I made mention of the fact that Rome sent guards, and they told the guards that they needed to stay at the tomb, and they needed to make sure that none of the disciples came and stole away the body of Jesus. Now, you're talking about the government. The government was as powerful in that day as it is today. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that the government today is all that dangerous. Oh, really? Don't pay your taxes and find out how dangerous they are. One of the most dangerous outfits in America today is the IRS, and don't you think they're not? Because they do what they want to do, and nobody seems to be able to change that or stop that. So they're a powerful force. And they're told that they're supposed to take and to commit their watch and make sure that everything is well taken care of. Now let me see, in chapter, I tell you what, look, it's 27, chapter 27, Matthew verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, would you imagine with me what must have happened that next morning? Can you imagine all those guards had to do was just stay right there? If they wanted to sleep, it was okay as long as they propped their bodies up against that stone and make sure that basically they were guarding a dead man. But can you imagine that the Bible tells us that the angels came and they rolled the stone away? Something happened to those guards. They did not die. The Bible is very plain about that. But something happened. I don't know if they ran. I don't know if they passed out. I don't know what happened. But they were there and they saw the angels and they saw the miracle and they probably even saw the resurrected Savior that came out. I don't know if they thought about trying to raise their swords, but how would you raise your sword against angels? Can't do it. They are powerful forces. And the 28th chapter, look at verse 11. Now when they were going, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. What are you going to do when you were the ones on guard? And all you had to do was stay right there. That's all you had to do. They're in their armor. They've got their sword. They've got their shield. How is a common man going to attack you when you're trained in warfare? But then the interesting thing is that they have seen the power of God, the resurrected Savior, the angelic visitors. Now you've got to go and describe this. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests. They didn't go to Rome first. They went to the Jews. And they told everything that happened. They said, you should have seen it. We saw people. We saw men. Did you ever notice the fact that when angels visit earth, they visit the form of men? And they probably said, we saw some men in an angelic appearance, maybe a glow around them, a light around them. And they said, oh, and they told him everything that was done. Now look at verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money in unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not. Rome, the Jews, honestly believed what happened. If they didn't, you know what the priest would have done? They'd have run straight to Pilate. And they say, Pilate, they have not done properly. They have not done right. They need to be put to death. They didn't. They had a meeting. They said, how much money will it take you to remember what we want you to remember? Verse 14, and they even said this. They even gave him a protection. They said in verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. You know what that means? They say, what are we going to do when our bosses, when our officials find out that this happened on our watch? Our lives are in jeopardy. He said, the priest said, okay, we'll intercede for you. We will make sure that you do not lose your job, much less your life. You know why? Because they believed themselves that Jesus had risen again from the dead. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. What? That the body was stolen was one, and then probably also the story that the Jews accepted a bribe, that the Roman soldiers accepted a bribe. You say, how do you know that's an evidence? Because if it weren't an evidence, they'd have said, chop off the head of these soldiers. They don't deserve to live. They knew. And they said, how much will it take to keep your mouth shut and not tell what you really saw? Because the interesting thing is, even as we go back to the 20th chapter, did you ever notice how many times you see the words see and saw? Verse number 5, chapter 20 of John says, and he stooping down looking in saw the linen clothes. Verse 6 says, and Peter followed and went and seeth the linen clothes lie. Verse 8, they went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. You remember what a fellow by the name of Thomas said? They called him Doubting Thomas. Do you know what Doubting Thomas said? Doubting Thomas said that I'll not see, I'll not believe until I touch the spear-riven side and the nail-pierced hands, I will not believe. And then the Lord came and appeared, and he said, oh, my Lord, my God. You know what Jesus said? Blessed is he that believeth not, or believeth and who believeth and seeth not. And so you and I never have seen that risen Savior, but the fact of these testimonies tell us that he did die for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again. A fourth evidence or proof of the resurrection is this: it's the establishment of the Lord's day. Now, have you ever heard people in church pray this prayer and they'll say, now, Lord, we want to thank you for this Sabbath day, but there's only one little problem. This is not the Sabbath day. You know what the Sabbath day was? Yesterday. You know what the word Sabbath means? It just means seventh. That's all it means. And the Jews have a day of rest on the Sabbath day. But when Jesus rose again from the third day, guess what? You know when they came to see him? The Bible says they came to see him on the first day. The first day. I'm not going to take the time. I've got three verses or passages. If you want to look them up, you can. Acts 20 and verse 7 is one. 1 Corinthians 16:2 is another. And Revelation 1:10 is the third one. And every one of those talk about the Lord's day. And that's exactly what we're here today, and we're worshiping the Lord on the Lord's day. So the institution of the Lord's day is an evidence that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Then a fifth thing, last evidence I want to show you is what we call the birth of the church. You know why we're sitting in Faith Baptist Church this morning?
Do you know why there are churches all up and down this bypass? Do you know why there are churches up and down these roads? Do you know why there are steeples? You know what the purpose of a steeple? Did you ever know what the purpose of a steeple was? A purpose of a steeple is to point to heaven. Do you ever think about that? Because it's much like a pointed finger, and the steeple points to heaven. You know what all of this is? It's all evidence that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Why? Because God set up something called the church. And He died for the church. And one day He's coming back to get the church. He's coming back to get all born-again believers, and we're going to go into glory to be with Him. He's going to rapture us out. Why? But if He Himself is not in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me, then He's not going to be able to resurrect us because He's not up there. But I read in that Bible time and time and time and time and time again that He's coming back. In an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming back. Bible is clear, and the church was birthed on that great promise. Had there been no resurrection, had there been no raising again from the dead, there would have been no birth of the church. So I thank God there's a church. The very fact that we're here today is evidence. We are evidence that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. We are evidence right now. Now, I want to finish this way. I want you to turn with me just for a moment over to 1 Corinthians. I wasn't going to turn here, but I do want to do this. Let me think. I'm going to get the right chapter. Let me see if it's 15. 1 Corinthians 15. If you turn there in closing, 1 Corinthians 15. Show you something you may never have thought of. Very important. What is the gospel? I gave you part of the gospel earlier. I'm going to give you the whole gospel. You say, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. We know the whole gospel. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to imagine that this wall right over here, we're going to put a little imaginary sign up here that says, according to the Scriptures. And then this wall over here, we're going to put an imaginary sign and use the word evidence. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the resurrection chapter. And I want you to read a few verses with me. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He's going to tell us what the gospel is, okay? Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now remember what I put on this imaginary wall? I put on this imaginary wall a phrase, according to the Scriptures. According to the Bible says Jesus died for our sins. How do you know that? I know that because the Bible in the Old Testament prophesied time and time and time and time again that a Savior would die for us. It's very important. According to the Scriptures. Now how do I know that Jesus, the Savior of the world, died for my sins? Because the Bible says that in, and I'm going to go to this wall and put that word evidence up there, and then I'm going to say this. And the Bible says that he died for our sins according to the Scripture, verse 4, and He was buried. Now you know what you don't do? You don't bury. You better not bury a live person. If you've ever watched any of these old shows like Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock, and some of those, that somebody always gets buried alive, you know. And that's a creepy thing, and it is. But you know what? You better not bury somebody that's alive, because it won't be long if he's dead. How do I know he died? According to the Scriptures, the Bible says he died. How do I know he died? He was buried. Okay. Now look at it again. Verse 4, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now we've got two things under this column. We've got, first thing, according to the Scriptures, he died. Second principle, and he rose again. Now we've got one thing over here. He was buried. Evidence. He died. Evidence. Buried. He rose again. Evidence. Look. Verse 5, and that he was seen. Evidence. How do I know? Saw it. Who saw it? Well, let's see. Cephas, that's Peter. Then the 12. Then after that, he was seen of over 500 brethren, of whom the greater part are remained unto this present hour. A vast majority at the time in which Paul's writing 1 Corinthians 15, a vast majority are still alive and saw the risen Savior. You know what the Bible says about testimonies? Out of the mouth of two or three testimonies, let every word be established. That's how the Jews handled stuff like that. If they had a legal matter, they had to have two to three witnesses. Do you remember? The Bible says when Jesus was taken to court, who testified about the resurrection of that temple? Two witnesses. They were false witnesses, but they held up in a court of law. How do I know he died? According to the scriptures, he was buried. How do I know he rose again? Because he was seen over 500 people. How do you dispute that? You can't. But you know what I think the greatest evidence of all of this is? Remember the old song? It says this: you ask me how I know he lives. You know the rest of it, don't you? He lives in my heart. And that's the greatest evidence in all the world that Jesus rose again from the dead. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we're going to invite you in just a moment to come down. Let me take you by the hand, show you from the Bible how you can be saved. That's the greatest thing about Easter. What a joy to trust Christ on Easter Sunday and to be saved by the wonderful grace of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, my Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good number of people here on Easter Sunday. But, Lord, it's your day. This is the day that has been set aside to commemorate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as someone has said and used a phrase that seems to be a good phrase, I said, Happy Resurrection Day. Then we should always understand the fact that this is a blessed day, and it's blessed because our Savior did not stay in a tomb, but He came up out of the grave and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for each one of us. I pray that every one of us today might know that we know that we know that we're ready for heaven because we have a resurrected Savior living in our hearts. We don't serve a dead Christ, but we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, no matter what men may say. And so what a great truth that psalm has for us. So I pray for someone here needs to come to know the Lord and be saved. I pray that you'll move upon them with Holy Ghost conviction, and they'll come down to the altar and we can get it settled today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number?
Number 235, Pass Me Not. All stand, please.
You've never been saved. If you want to come, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You come.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While others are going, do not pass me by. Oh,
bow your heads and close your eyes. I'll not extend the invitation much longer. I'm just concerned today. Please don't leave this church if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please don't. Please don't. Please come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved if you've never been saved. You've got to make the effort. Nobody can shove Christianity down your throat. You must accept it. You must receive it. Please don't go out the door. You may go out the door and go out into eternity. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. We are not promised tomorrow. We don't know if we'll live to see the end of this day. Death just does not affect old people, does it? It affects young people too. Talking about the artist earlier, how that he, I think it was 50, what was it, 55, 56, in his mid-50s. Thomas Kincaid, is not? Said he died of natural causes. If that's true, it just kind of hit him. It's not like it gave him any warning. Please make your call and election sure. Make sure you know Jesus. Don't go out the door and not know him today. Please don't. Please don't. I beg you in the name of Jesus. Don't.
You be seated. I think the invitation is sufficient. If you'd like to talk to me later, that'll be wonderful. We can talk to you from the Word of God about being saved. Just don't leave this campus today without knowing Jesus as Savior. Brother Bill, you come take the offering, please, sir. And ask you to give. Now, afterwards, you're going to go over to the church. I hope no one will leave. I want you to stay. And we've got some sandwiches, and we're just going to eat and have some fellowship. And then somewhere, I'm not sure how we're going to work all of that out. We're going to have a service afterwards. Kids are going to be doing some Easter egg hunting, things like that. So we'll get all that sorted out, how we're going to do that. I want you to stay and just enjoy yourself and have some fellowship and enjoy this good day the Lord has made. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad. And you didn't sound very rejoiced. Let's try that again. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will
rejoice
and be glad. You and I rejoice and nobody else will, all right? And so I praise the Lord for the good things of the Lord. Brother Buddy, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the gift? Let's head over to the fellowship hall. Okay?